Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Unending Rebuild. This is Jared here. Our beloved host Kais is out sick this week. He doesn't have an illness, but he's out. So I'm here hosting with Josh. Josh, why don't you say what's up?
What's up, y'all? Excited to be back. Let's talk about some more NFL fantasy shit. I'm excited about it. Week two was fun. Let's talk about some players.
Yeah, week two. I say we start off with the Minnesota Philadelphia game that was on Thursday this week. We watched that together. It was a fun game. Really, I was excited to, see Devonta Smith ball out, but DeAndre Swift was the big winner, definitely, with 175 rushing yards. I mean, that dude absolutely ate on my bench this week. It was tough, but I know you started him, so I know you're pretty hyped. Got him into dynasties, right?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, the only dynasty I do have men is in D-gens, and DeAndre Swift went crazy. That was super hype.
Do you think he keeps the
We,
backfield?
I do not think he keeps the backfield. I think just like the Eagles, the way that Sirianni runs his ship, it's not a DeAndre Swift led ship. I don't know. It doesn't. I don't like DeAndre Swift against the Bucks this week. It sounds like Kenneth Gainwell is back healthy. It's DeAndre Swift is going to do what DeAndre Swift always does. He'll have some big blow-up games down the rest of the year, but he's going to have a lot of disappointing games because there will be games where he'll blow up and then we're expecting him to have another blow-up game, expect him to carry the workload, and he might not get all the touches. And we'll be really frustrated as fantasy owners, like trying to decide like when to start him. So he's going to be a little bit of a tough player to own, but when he pops off, he's going to put up a lot of points. Just because when the matchup's right for him, when he's able to catch some passes, kind of get going in the offense, he's going to dominate the defense. And so in the games the games he gets the workload, he's going to go off, but there might be some frustrating games here and there from DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely expect like Kenneth Gainwell to maybe not completely take over, but get definitely he's going to get at least half these touches back, I'd assume. And maybe they'll do like more of a 50-50 split rather than what they've seen the last two games of basically, one or the other. But on the other side, Minnesota's just added a running back. They just traded for Cam Akers. They gave up
Crazy.
like late or a late 26 pick swap. We're in the year 23. They said let's go to 2026 and pick swap then. So I don't know what that says for Cam Akers other than that he sucks. But Alexander Madison has also kind of sucked. He had 8 carries for 28 yards in this game.
That's pretty
He
bad.
fumbled at least one time.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe Cam Akers can do something, but I still don't really expect anything out of these out of this backfield really at all. I know that Madison's, got a lot of volume for now, but the offensive line has looked bad. He's looked bad. Cam Akers has always fought behind a bad offensive line his whole life, it seems. So maybe he can do something behind this line, but I doubt it. I think it's going to be more Justin Jefferson, more Jordan Addison, and more TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Like, I don't want anything to do with this backfield. Like, keep all of them off all of my teams. I don't want any of them. But I'm super excited about this passing offense. Kirk Cousins is continuing to just have this air raid sort of offense that Kevin O'Connell is implementing, and having Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson as his weapons is pretty phenomenal. It's a fun offense. They'll put up a lot of points this year.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fun one to have for fantasy from the passing perspective. Definitely been in a fun one to watch. Hopefully Jordan Addison gets some more snaps soon because he's balling out there playing much better than KJ Osborne, even though Osborne's seeing a lot more work right now.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. We'll talk about first one in my screen here is Green Bay Atlanta. That was a pretty fun one also. Definitely was not expecting the result to be 25-24 Atlanta with the dub. But those Falcon offense and defense, they just keep rolling, keep it on the ground the whole time and they do good things. Desmond Ridder threw one interception, one touchdown, did fine with the ball, 237 yards, and Bijan just ate. Once again, they ran the ball so many times. Bijan had 19 carries, Algier had 16, and Ridder even ran it 10 times. But Bijan's second in the league in rushing already as a rookie. So big things incoming for him. And shout out Drake London for his bounce back. I had to miss last week because of that big zero. Couldn't come on here and have that stand, but Drake London helped me out coming back in week two with 6 catches, 67 yards and a touchdown. Hopefully that continues because he's a monster and they're actually giving him targets now. So should. But on the other side, more interesting, Jordan Love had 3 touchdowns with only 150 yards, which is crazy. They didn't move the ball very much, but when they did, you know, they were big plays for touchdown or Jaden Reed with a nice, like on a short field with a nice little play. So I was hyped to see Jaden Reed get 2 touchdowns in his young career. That's my boy. Also didn't perform in week one, so I had to wait for him to show out. He fucking balled. It was fun. I'm kind of sold on Jordan Love at this point. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It's probably just me, but I kind of think Jordan Love looks pretty good. He's definitely missed some throws. You know, not the most accurate quarterback, but he looks ready for the moment. Looks like he can handle the game. Obviously, they did lose, but it looks like he can handle the pressure of the game, and he might have a decent receiving core with Jaden Reed, and then once Christian Watson comes back, and it looks like they got a pretty decent tight end in Luke Musgrave for now. We've seen some good things out of him too. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited because it sounds like Christian Watson's coming back this week because he did practice today. So he's on the right track to finally returning. But I do agree, Jordan Love looks like the real deal. When Jordan Love first came into the league, I will admit I was a hater. But I guess just sitting 3 years behind a Hall of Fame quarterback is a proven formula over there in Green Bay because yep. It's worked for the last two guys. So it's looking like it's that plan is continuing to be on track with Jordan Love. So I'm excited to see what he can do the rest of the season. He, like you said, he's an insanely efficient quarterback. And I think that just honestly, I'm going to admit again, I have been a hater of Matt LaFleur in the past, but he's got a pretty good system. Their offense runs like a well-oiled machine. And once they threw Jordan Love in there, like, to be honest, like it doesn't look that much different than when Aaron Rodgers ran this offense. So Aaron Rodgers obviously like can make a ton more throws and like he was able to have some of those kind of off script sort of plays. But in terms of like the scripted plays and like the plays that the coach wants to run, Jordan Love makes the offense look exactly the same. I expect Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, all these guys to have phenomenal seasons. Aaron Jones, once he comes back, AJ Dillon, even he'll have his games here or there. And Luke Musgrave, like you said. So this is a fun offense to be invested in because it's a pretty potent offense for fantasy.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's going to be good for the years to come. Got a lot of young pieces there, so invest early in those guys. Definitely trying to get more Jaden Reed. Wasn't really able to.
Yeah, Jaden Reed is hype. Jaden Reed is real hype.
That's been my boy, so hopefully I'm able to secure him before his price gets too out of hand.
One question. What are your thoughts on Dontayvion Wicks? Do you think he's the real deal? Do you think he had like an just a lucky touchdown? What do you think of it?
I mean, it was kind of like a broken play there for his touchdown, it seemed like. But I mean, it looks like he could be a decent receiver, but I definitely don't see anything, you know, I don't see them like trying to get him into the starting lineup with the guys that okay. they have right now. It's kind of how I feel about Wicks. But obviously he has played a decent amount. He's a big body, so there's always that big like big play potential, but I don't see him as one of their consistent starters.
Okay. I like that take. I agree on all fronts.
All right. So I think we'll move on now to the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. A big game in the NFC, AFC North between these two powerhouses, except the Bengals are now 0-2. They started the season off pretty rough. Joe Burrow, yeah. not good. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, really not looking good. Definitely hurting everybody's fantasy teams that drafted him. so I don't know. The Bengals are going to have to right this ship. It looks like Burrow maybe still has some leg injury issues he's dealing with. It possibly might not even play in week three, they're saying right now. And Joe Mixon has not really been able to do much either in a 3-point ball game. He only ran the ball 13 times. He had 5 targets, but it's interesting that they're not trying to run the ball more when like Joe Burrow just hasn't been that great yet either. So I don't know that I think we have always kind of hated on the Bengals play calling since they've, you know, since Joe Burrow
Zach Taylor.
And Zach Taylor's yeah. been calling the plays, but Yeah, it's not working out. They don't look to be able, they're not looking to scheme open T and Jamar. They're just kind of chucking the ball, letting them run go routes and throwing it up like curls, and they're not running easy slant like plays for those guys. So, could be a long road ahead for the Bengals. I'm not very optimistic, honestly, that this turns around like crazy, if I'm being honest.
I'm concerned of this entire Bengals offense. Like, I don't know what's going on over there. I mean, I thought Joe Burrow was kind of hurt, like, going into this season already. And like the fact that it's kind of playing out that way is a little unfortunate because we were all expecting this massive blow up year for Ja'Marr Chase, and we haven't had that thus far. And right now, Ja'Marr Chase looks like the biggest bust of the first round right now. So hopefully Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals can kind of turn the offense around. I think that they can. I mean, last year they kind of did the same thing. They started off, did they start off 0-2? I can't remember. It was either 0-2 or 1-1. But they started off pretty poorly to start off the year last year too. Maybe we'll see them right the ship again and kind of flip the switch, and they'll start looking like the Bengals of the past 2 years. But if Joe Burrow is actually like hurt and he's going to continue to miss games, then I'm on the same page as you. I don't expect to see this Bengals offense to be anywhere near the caliber of offense we've seen from them in the past.
Yeah, it's sad to see, but hopefully Joe Burrow maybe just sits a game or two and gets his leg right and they can get it back. But the coaching not really helping them very much. But on the other side of the ball, shout out to Ravens. Lamar Jackson looked a lot better this game than his game against Houston last week. They obviously still beat Houston, but it didn't take much. So glad that he looked better in this game and had an interesting split with the running backs. Gus Edwards had 10 carries and Justice Hill had 11. Gus Edwards did more with him with 62 yards and a touchdown. Still looks like Gus Bus. I mean, I like playing Gus Edwards when I get the chance. If I need help in the RB2 spot, he's going to get me 10 points, it seems like. Never really anything crazy, but they definitely like to give Gus the ball, but he's probably not going to catch any passes. So definitely better in, standard or half PPR leagues. I was sad to see Nelson Aguilar out target Zay Flowers, though, only by one. But after Zay just dominated in week one, it makes sense that, the defense is going to hone in on him more. But and Mark Andrews is back, so he's going to get more targets. But dropping down to five, Nelson Aguilar was six, kind of disappointing, but I'm sure Zay's going to bounce back. He still had 4 for 62 yards, still looks really good. They got him run, like they gave him a carry. So they're still trying to get him the ball in any way possible. And he's still like one of the top rookies for me. I was really excited to see him ball out last week too. That was fun. So other than that, OBJ, I think, is hurt already, unfortunate. But I'm still not looking probably to slot in Rashad Bateman. Unfortunately, has not looked great this these first two games. I know they talked about him offseason. Lamar said he's still WR1, but doesn't seem that way. Seems like he's at best the three, and even Nelson Aguilar had quite a few targets in this game. So Rashad may be even the four with OBJ out. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a gross wide receiver room. Makes sense why they were all going so late in all of the rookie best ball, all of those sorts of redraft and best ball sorts of drafts. But I Zay Flowers seems to be like the target leader for this receiving core. He's phenomenal. He had that one crazy catch against the Bengals this week that was like 40 yards down the field. That was fun, and I think Zay's just going to continue to show those sorts of wide receiver one sorts of abilities. So it's probably just gonna be him. Mark Andrews are gonna dominate all of the receptions in this offense, and it's really exciting because I think the Ravens are only just gonna continue to get better. It seems like they're slowly starting to get used to the Todd Monken offense, and I wouldn't have ever imagined a old veteran wide receiver like Nelson Aguilar to have six. Well, how many receptions do you have? 6 for 60 and a touchdown.
He had 5 for 63 and a touchdown. He had six
Five
targets.
for 60, 5 for 63 and a touchdown. Like, an old veteran wide receiver never comes to Baltimore and does that. He's never done that in the past under in a Greg Roman offense. But now that Tom Monken is here, he's kind of flipping the script for this this Baltimore offense, and they look completely different than they have in years past. So I'm excited for them to just continue to kind of build the familiarity with the offense, build chemistry with Todd Monken's offense and with each other, and kind of get that timing down. And I think this offense is going to be something very fearful for other teams throughout the entire season.
I agree. Love the Ravens offense. It's going to be fun. I think sad to see J.K. Dobbins not out there anymore. Would have just made the offense better. But all right, let's move on to the tied for the highest scoring game this week. I thought it was the highest scoring game, but there's another one that tied. The Seahawks and the Lions going to OT, and my boy Geno pulled it out. Tyler Lockett with the clutch dove and hit the pylon and got the touchdown in overtime to win it. It was a fun game. But unfortunately, David Montgomery got hurt in this game. Amon-Ra looked like he got like turf toe, or is at least battling turf toe, possibly as well. So that was unfortunate, but the Lions can move the ball no matter what. Ben Johnson knows what he's doing, I guess, over here. They're calling it, dialing up plays for Josh Reynolds. He had two touchdowns in this game, 66 yards. Khalif Raymond had 46 yards and a touchdown. And Jameer had 9 targets. We love to see that. Didn't get a ton of yards on his 7 catches, but paced the team in targets, which was awesome. That's why we drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. His 7 carries don't matter because he got 9 targets. And obviously, I did say Montgomery is went down in this game. Possibly, it looks like he's going to miss a couple weeks. I don't think Jahmyr is going to take over this backfield. I think probably we're going to see a lot more of Craig Reynolds. They just signed Bam Knight, Zonovan Knight. I think they might even work him in a little bit. Keep Jahmyr probably around 10, maybe give him 12 carries at this point, but probably not too much more, and keep him as, you know, a 9, 8, 9 target guy. What do you think about the Lions moving forward with their situations?
Yeah, the Lions offense is really exciting. This offensive line is
Yeah,
incredible.
killer.
It's the best in the league. Like, this offensive line is unreal. And that's why this offense is able to operate so well, is because of that offensive line. Jared Goff is given time. And we know Jared Goff isn't the most stellar quarterback in the NFL, but he's capable of running this Lions offense because he gets all the time in the world and he doesn't have to face pressure all that much. And so when he's given that clean pocket, he can make most of the throws that you need an NFL quarterback to make. And so that's kind of what Jared Goff is, and they have the perfect system for him to run it. Because this offense is phenomenal, and Jahmyr Gibbs is going to continue to see those sorts of targets. I'm excited for him to get the full workload. Hopefully Craig Reynolds doesn't take too many touches. I feel like he might, but Jahmyr Gibbs should see a little bit more workload with David Montgomery missing time. They're just going to want to have the playmaker, the athlete just out there. So excited for Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm actually really, really excited for JMO to come back. This offense looks potent to have a guy just running, just completely burning the defense, and then Jared Goff just having to make that one throw. I know Jared, we might have our doubts about Jared Goff being able to complete those sorts of deep throws, but I feel confident in it just because he's done it in the past with guys like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And I think with JMO's speed, he's going to be able to burn defenses. I'm excited to see what he can unlock in this offense and kind of take this offense to the next level, where Amon-Ra might be dealing with a little bit of an injury, so he might his production might suffer a little bit from that. But maybe JMO coming in and just completely clearing out the entire intermediate area for Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to kind of elevate this offense even more than what it already is.
Yeah, I agree. It should be fun to see JMO in this offense. Hopefully he's better than he was last year. Only got one catch, but obviously, you know, started slow and coming off an injury this year, just coming off a suspension. So hopefully he's been working out, keeping up in shape, in game shape, and is able to start the his year off strong. On the other side, it looked like DK Metcalf also, I think, had like a rib injury, got hit pretty hard on a catch over near the end zone. So I think he didn't practice today either. We'll see if he's a go. I'm not really sure if he's going to play or not. Usually, like those, like rib and stomach injuries, guys end up playing through. So I would say he probably is, but definitely don't know for sure. Kenneth Walker, though, got 2 touchdowns, still dominating the backfield in Seattle. So any Sharp drafters out there, I'm very sorry. He has not lived up to the hype yet. And it looks like Kenneth Walker's doing pretty well. Obviously, he had a pretty low yards per carry, but he got into the end zone twice. So they're definitely going to like that. You know, taking care of the rock and finding the end zone is what they like there. It's what everybody likes. So moving on to the wide receivers, man, it's sad. They're given, I think JSN has like the lowest average depth of target in the league right now. They are really just using him as completely a check down guy. At least when he gets the ball, I haven't been able to, you know, see many routes where he hasn't gotten it. So I'm not sure if he's been used as a decoy at down or running any downfield routes at all, but when they target him, it's like a couple yards down the field. So hopefully that changes, but he saw a little bit more playing time this week than he did last week. Got six targets, five catches. So that's some improvement. If it was anywhere down the field at all, he would have had more than 34 yards. So I'm liking that a little bit more. They're still passing the ball a ton in Seattle, at least this game they did. So that was good. Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see with JSN. I'm still hopeful, but he's a guy that I'm sitting this week in my leagues, unfortunately.
I'm starting JSN. Hey, let's go. I can't not start JSN just because, like, I'm such a believer in this Seahawks offense, and I'm still on. I'm going to stick with my prediction from early on in the season. JSN 900 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. I have a feeling it's coming this year.
It's coming. So, I'm just not sure it's like, you know, going to be this week, but it's coming. Oh, he's coming.
I think it's going to be this week. Let's go. I'm starting to JSN everywhere.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. We need that.
Oh, man.
The boys.
I mean, just
that.
Like JSN, like he's on the field. He's getting targets. They'll figure it out. They'll put it together sooner rather than later. They're playing Carolina this week. The Seahawks always beat Carolina. So I'm excited for this Seahawks offense to kind of just eviscerate this Carolina defense, and hopefully JSN is a really big part of that. We know DK Metcalf's coming off a little bit of a stinger, and Tyler Lockett hasn't really been the Tyler Lockett which we've used to been seeing. So JSN is in like the prime spot for him to just kind of pop off. I'm excited for him this week. I'm playing him.
I hope so. We'll see. I'm waiting for it. I know it's coming. So if it comes this week, I'll be happy. All right, let's move on to the Chargers and the Titans. It was a pretty good game, went into overtime again, another overtime game. I don't know how the Titans ever win games. It's always disgusting looking. But their defense is nice. Mike Vrabel is a dog, coaches him extremely well, and Derrick Henry just does Derrick Henry things. 25 carries, 80 yards and a touchdown. Not super efficient, but hey, doesn't matter. They won the game. I also like the long ball to Treylon. Wish he could have get the touchdown, but shout out Treylon. Nice. He looked good on that play, and then Derek cleaned it up. So, yeah, I mean, not too many exciting things from Tennessee. Tyjae definitely didn't get as many snaps as he did last week, but he got a few carries. Looked pretty good with them at 50 yards on 8 carries. Not much out of D-Hop, unfortunate, but I don't know. I just don't think we're going to see a ton out of the receiving core again this year. It's going to be Derrick Henry and trying to win the ball with defense and some more Tyjae to spell him a little bit. So,
hey, I still believe in the boy, D-Hop. I still believe in him. I think he's not as a top 12 guy, though, definitely. I mean, he doesn't have to be a top 12 guy, though, for this offense. I mean, I can see him being top 24. And D-Hop is having a top 24 wide receiver plus a top 6 running back should be pretty good for this offense. I mean, I think the Titans are just like slowly starting to figure it out. I mean, they played a phenomenal game against the Chargers. I know the Chargers they've been kind of a hype team over the past few years, and they've kind of struggled to really figure it out. But their offense is potent. Their offense is really, really strong. Defense handled them. The offense was good enough to pull out the W. And that's the Mike Vrabel sort of way of winning, you know, like they just kind of grind out these games. They're just going to hand the rock off to Derrick Henry. He'll get 3-4 yards every carry. The defense is going to get worn out. You're going to be able to find a, a reception deep. They found Traylon deep in the second half. So I like this Tennessee team. Even though it's ugly, they get the job done, and Derrick Henry scores a lot of fantasy points. And I think once the Ryan Tannehill, DeAndre Hopkins connections like slowly starts to fully form, I'm excited for what those two are going to be able to do. I'm
Yeah.
surprised that you're not on the D Hop train. You used to be
I
such a
mean,
big D Hop fan.
Tannehill just needs to play better. Like, I mean, he
That's
was efficient
facts.
this game, but it's still just, I mean, I don't not say I'm not discrediting D Hop's talent, but he was never a guy that got super open, and now he's getting older and Tannehill just doesn't look that good. So I just for fantasy purposes, I definitely don't really want any D Hop. But I mean, this team is probably gonna win the AFC South because like the Jags are just gonna fold to their defense, and they have a terrible defense. So, yeah, I mean, I for as a team, like, yeah, I love Vrabel. I think they could easily win the division. They're tough, but I definitely don't want any D Hop in fantasy right now. I can't believe Mike Williams had 13 targets though on the other side of the ball. I did not realize that.
Crazy.
My
I didn't
man,
realize he had 13 targets either.
yeah,
That's wild.
my man had 8 catches, 83 yards on 13 targets. Like they were feeding Mike Will, but not around the end zone. That was Keenan's time. 8 catches for 111 yards and 2 TDs. Keenan fucking balled this week. It was hype. It took away from my boy Josh Kelly, who I was hoping good things from. Picked him up, started him over DeAndre Swift. You know what happens. I got the dub in that league, so fuck it.
Happens.
I do think good things are coming though for Josh Kelly. I think they play Minnesota this week. Minnesota's defense is just all around bad, but they also have bad
Terrible.
passing defense as well, bad secondary, so they could easily just throw the ball a ton a lot again. But I think everybody's going to probably feast against Minnesota this week, so that's my opinion. We'll see if Eckler is back. I don't know. He's still not practicing, didn't practice today, but it's early in the week, so we'll see if Eckler is back. I think Kelly's a good start if he doesn't play. He's a decent start in an emergency if he does, but definitely wouldn't be prioritizing him. But other than that, Keenan and Mike Williams are gonna ball this year, and we're just gonna have to wait for QJ, seems like.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this Carolina Panthers or Los Angeles Chargers pass offense. This team is phenomenal, and yeah, they're gonna destroy the Vikings this week. I think they're gonna destroy them all around. Josh Kelly, I like him as a bounce back candidate this week as well. Expect him to have a pretty big game if Eckler is sitting. But yeah, love Keenan. Love Mike Williams. This offense is just fun to be a part of for fantasy all around.
Yep, agreed. Not as a fan though, because they keep losing games. But
Yeah, but they keep
sucks for
taking L's.
them.
That's a Charger way, though, you
Yep.
know?
All right, let's move on to the other LA team, the Los Angeles Rams and San Francisco 49ers. The Rams did lose this one, as expected, but they put up a pretty good fight. They only lost by
Puka.
7, but that's because they kicked the last second field goal and everybody was mad that took the 49ers spread because it was 7.5, but sucks for them. Yeah, so now let's get into the players. Puka, let's fucking go, boy. Like, dude, like, what is he doing? He's on pace to like shatter like all the records, like the receiving yardage record, the receptions record, the everything for a rookie, like by far. Like 20 targets in this game. 15 catches, 147 yards. Like he's just always open. They're Sean McVay knows what he's doing, and Puka Nacua knows what he's doing. He's always open. Like it's so hype. I have him on 3 dynasty leagues. I think I have him in one more redraft league. I've fallen in love already. I want to start him in all my leagues. I want to get him everywhere. I want to give up everything for him. I swear to God, he's the GOAT. I don't know what's going on. But he's fucking going insane, dude. It just doesn't absolutely does not make any sense. But yeah, I mean, I think he's worth like a first in Dynasty. I mean, it just seems insane. Like I don't know. Even with Cooper Kupp back, he's got a feast. Like it just doesn't make any sense that this guy could take like a complete back seat. Obviously, he's not going to be Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp with 20 targets would have probably had 200 plus yards, but like he's gonna get his targets. This dude's gonna keep eating. I don't see any way he doesn't. Like, this is just absolutely dominating. Matt Stafford creates wide receiver ones for breakfast. And yeah, it's just hype. And Kyron Williams looked hype too. He's now got like a 98% share of the backfield, and they just traded away Cam Akers. So I'm really hyped for Kyron. I was pissed you got him for so cheap. I would go acquire him for sure.
Yeah,
His value right now, it still seems to be pretty low, and he's got a stranglehold on this offense. That's much better than people expected. Even if he's not super efficient, it doesn't matter when he gets 10 targets and 14 carries. Jesus, 10 targets. Like, he's just gonna feast. Like, there's PPR points, there's touchdowns available. He had two more this week. He's had four already. Obviously, that's not gonna continue every week, but these are guys that are still pretty cheap, it feels like, and are like must buys. They're eating. They're gonna continue to eat even when Cup's back, or and there's no guarantee that Cup comes back. So I definitely think they're big buys in this offense.
it's so funny. Like, Kais and I actually talked about Kyron Williams last week. We were talking about how he was definitely a buy and that he's going to be a big part of this offense. And that was before I traded for him. And Trisman reached out and he wanted to give us Josh Kelly. And he first like offered it for like Tajay Spears and a second. And I was like, there's no way that I'm doing that. And then he said, what about David Njoku? And I was like, okay, like I'll give you David Njoku for like Josh Kelly. And just because we talked about it on the podcast last week, I was like, and let me get Kyron Williams too. And then he was like, okay, let me get J.K. Dobbins. And I was like, all right, bet. And then that's how the trade was made. Like it was funny because it's like a
Nice.
practice what you preach sort of thing where like we talked, Kais and I talked about it on the podcast last week. And then we, and then Mangles and I executed that just like that. It was a pretty win-win situation because Trisman is trying to get points off his roster because it looks like he's going through like a 1 year rebuild sort of thing. And I'm trying to win the championship this year, so benefits both sides. I was really curious that he wanted J.K. Dobbins, just because I mean J.K.
Yeah, I
Dobbins
don't know.
is tore his Achilles and his ACL, but like I guess he's still only 24. Like maybe he could come back into the NFL and like find a semblance of his old self. It's unlikely, but like there's definitely a chance. Never say never sort of thing. So I
It
guess
could be like what, Jerick McKinnon, right? Didn't that happen to him?
yeah, Jerick McKinnon. Yeah, he tore his ACL and then he tore his Achilles. Yeah, so he could be. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is built like that. So
Yep.
and Jerick McKinnon's what, like 31 and he's still making plays in the NFL. So
Yep.
I could definitely see that.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But I think it was a good trade for sure. Agreed. On the other side of the ball, 49ers, pretty typical 49er stuff. Moved the ball around to their playmakers and did it well and efficiently. But only five guys caught a pass in this game. Outside of their core four was Juwan Jennings, but they really dominated to Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, and McCaffrey. Just stayed with what they knew. And I like that. I like seeing that. Don't put these, random guys that you end up that they've drafted in like the fourth and fifth round in there. Just stick with your studs. So that's good signs for this offense. Lots of targets for Debo. Lots of targets for Ayuk. Looks like Kittle's gonna be the third fiddle there. But yeah,
Yeah, don't you love consolidated offenses? Like it's
beautiful.
so nice. It's amazing. That's why I love Miami offense. I love San Francisco offense. You know who's going to score.
Yep.
And I'm curious though because curious what you think of Brock Purdy. He missed a lot of throws against the Rams. I know he was 17 and 25, no touchdowns, no interceptions though. But he definitely missed some like what like there were several Brandon Ayuk touchdowns that like should have easily been touchdowns and Brock Purdy just missed him. I saw George Kittle one that he missed as well. So I'm curious what you think of him and what you value Brock Purdy at right now in Dynasty.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't have Brock Purdy in any leagues except my eight man dynasty, playing a lot of different sizes of dynasties. Got an eight man, and one guy doesn't have a second quarterback, and also doesn't have his first round pick. So I tried to trade Brock Purdy for Javonte and a third. Because he has plenty of running backs, so I needed the running back. And he immediately countered with Brock Purdy in a first for Javonte. So I guess I'll go fuck myself. And
Ha
I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm not that low on Brock Purdy for sure, but I'm definitely not super high on him. I mean, I think he can score points in this offense, but to think he's going to be the long-term solution is crazy, it feels like. I mean, he's serviceable, but he's Gardner Minshew, if I've ever seen Gardner Minshew play without his swag. So I don't know. I just don't think that he has, like, everything in his bag. He can be the game manager that Shanahan wants, but I don't think they're gonna win the Super Bowl with him. So if they win the Super Bowl, then I mean, he's definitely gonna stick around. But they've gotten to the NFC Championship game and gotten rid of their quarterbacks. So I don't see any way that he's the long-term starter, because I don't expect a Super Bowl out of them.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't have any Brock Purdy, and I'm going to keep it that way. I'm not trying to acquire him whatsoever. He's one of the most like surefire sells I've seen in a long time. So, if you can get like market value for Brock Purdy, I would definitely sell him.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I don't know which New York should we just skip both New York games? I don't know. They were both ugly, if you ask me.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, we'll just give a quick shout out to the Cowboys for dominating that game, but and then you can go.
Can we talk about my boy Marvin Mims? Oh
Hey,
my
oh,
God.
that's okay. Yeah, that's where I was going
Yeah.
next. Yeah,
Yeah,
all right.
we can't not talk about Marvin
No.
Mims.
I wasn't gonna skip him
Oh
for
my
sure.
God.
So the
Marvin
other
Mims went
highest scoring game of
crazy.
the week, dude. I did not think that the Commanders and Broncos scored too many points. I forgot. But tied for the highest game scoring game of the week, dude. That Hail
68.
Mary was hype. Yeah, they scored a ton of points.
Dude, what was that? What was that Hail Mary?
I don't know. I was hype. And what was that non-call DPI on the 2-point try? I say we get another one, run that in with Javonte, and we should be seeing OT right now. But yeah, Marvin Mims for the Broncos rookie was hype. He had two targets, two catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Get that man on the field. They gave him two runs as well, 10 yards. But, like, dude, like, stop playing fucking little Jordan Humphreys with the same amount of targets, 4 yards, one catch. And hey, shout out Brandon Johnson. Can't even lie. That was hype. He caught two touchdowns, one off the Hail Mary tip. That was sick. But he still should not be playing over Marvin Mims. Kind of ridiculous. But once Marvin Mims sees more playing time, dude, he's gonna go crazy. He looked so hype. Both of those catches were sick catches and nice routes. And he got the touchdown on one. He like it's gonna be big things for Marvin Mims. Two catches, 113 yards in his second game with Russ. I mean, shoot, with that bum, nah. The offense looks pretty good. They're saying most points per drive for the Bronc in the league for the Broncos. They just haven't had very many drives because their defense sucks. So hopefully that changes up a bit and they're able to get the ball a little bit more. But the Broncos are scoring points, and we have seen some weird players be beneficiaries of that, like Brandon Johnson with two touchdowns. But hopefully Javonte starts scoring. Maybe Piran picks it up. They gave the touchdown to Jaleel McLaughlin. That was tough as well. Sean Payton hates fantasy, I guess. We knew that because he starts Adam Troutman every game over Greg Dulcich, even though Dulcich is on IR right now. So screw you, Sean Payton, but at least the offense looks a lot better. And shout out on the other side of the ball, Brian Robinson, who looks way better than Antonio Gibson. I don't know who saw that coming, but 18 carries, 87 yards, two touchdowns. Also saw three targets, two catches for 42 yards. Gibson had three catches for 44, but only had two carries for 9 yards. They are not feeding Gibson the ball on the ground. He had a fumble in week one, and ever since then, they said, "All right, we just won't give you the ball then." And Brian Robinson, he's like the RB2 or three right now. The man is absolutely balling. Bienemy's got this offense humming. Scored 35 points this week. Terry McLaurin made a sick catch in the end zone. Logan Thomas made a really nice catch on a nice throw from Sam Howell. Unfortunately, got hit really hard, but that was fucked up. Hopefully, the NFL kicks that dude out for a week or something. But yeah, this offense looks good. Bienemy's got him moving the ball all around. Lots of dudes caught the ball in Washington. So I like Sam Howell. He's looking pretty good. What do you think about your Washington football team slash Commanders?
I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm seeing. This offense looks way better than I have seen in a very long time. I think that a lot of that can be attributed to Eric Bieniemy's play calling. It's kind of transformed this entire offense. But our players are also like we've always had good players, and the fact that Eric Bieniemy is putting them in a real offense, we're finally seeing what they're truly capable of. I mean,
You
Brian
never had a good
Robinson,
quarterback, though.
we've never had a good quarterback. That's very true. And Sam Howell is capable. Sam Howell looks like he can make the throws. He's confident. He can run the ball as well. He makes good decisions. And he runs the offense well. He does what Eric Bieniemy needs him to do. And I mean, Ron Rivera is our head coach, so we're going to be a run-heavy team. Brian Robinson kind of fits that mold of exactly what Ron Rivera wants. You just hand the rock off to him. He'll get you 3, 4 yards of carry. He'll break off some long runs here or there for like 15, 20 yards. That's exactly what the Washington offense has always been, what Ron Rivera offenses have always been, is just grind the ball out. And then Eric Bieniemy is kind of bringing in these exciting play call, pass plays that's kind of opening up the offense. Jahan Dotson's eating, Terry McLaurin's eating, even Logan Thomas is eating. And Logan Thomas has come off a bunch of different injuries, and the fact that he's becoming relevant again is pretty amazing.
Dude, yeah, shout out Logan Thomas. Like, that's actually crazy. Since we
Yeah.
skipped over the Cardinals, I'll also give a quick shout out to Zach Ertz for coming back and balling as well,
That's
dominating that team in
insane.
targets. Like,
I can't believe that. I cannot
yeah,
believe that.
like it's crazy, dude. Like, he tore his ACL too, right? Like,
Yeah, he tore his ACL like
he's
mid-season last year.
yeah,
He's a
back for week
beast.
one, balling, dude. Shout out to
He's
Zach
a
Ertz.
beast.
Like,
Yeah,
actually
for real.
crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible what some of these older guys are able to do. I mean, I think that just kind of speaks to like how athletic these tight ends are. Like
Yeah.
these tight ends are just like absolute units. Like the fact that like these guys are like linemen that can also play receiver. Like these guys are incredible. I think tight ends are probably the most like underappreciated position because like these guys are probably one of the most like athletic
Yeah.
dudes on the entire field.
They
Like
do
Travis
so
Kelce
much.
is insane.
Yeah. They got to do so much. And yeah, they're disrespected for it for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Lot of pretty good wins out there. And a couple of elite guys that definitely need to get paid more, but at least Kelsey's getting paid well, but not as he should. I mean, I think he would be like 15 in amongst receivers or something like that, and he was like one of the, he's been one of the top guys in like receiving yards for the past few years. So,
Yeah.
disrespecting the tight ends. All right,
Honestly, though, like, hold on, like,
yeah.
shout out this like rookie tight end class.
Dude,
Like
they're
these guys
nice.
are beasts. They're beasts.
Yeah.
Laporta, Dalton
Kincaid,
Kincaid, Luke Musgrave, they're
Musgrave.
all like earning targets early on. Like it's really impressive. I'm excited for this tight end group.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in a while. A lot of rookies, tight ends we know take a while to develop. Obviously, Kyle Pitts had a nice 1,000-yard season as a rookie, but usually we don't see that. And could
Oh,
see a couple of these
what is
guys.
happening over there in Atlanta though?
Yeah, dude, I don't know. They
Jonnu
just
Smith getting all the targets.
won't throw the ball to Kyle Pitts. They hate him. They hate him. All right, let's move
Oh
on to the Miami and Patriots game. Because let's go Miami, another dub. Two big wins beating the Chargers and the Patriots in the first 2 weeks. Tua went out there and balled like he always does. Didn't have this great, fantastic stat game. Had 249 yards, one touchdown, one pick, but still got on the dub. They were dominating on the ground. Obviously, Bill Belichick is going to take away what you do best, which is throw the ball over the top to Tyreek and throwing it underneath to Waddle and letting him run in space. And so, with a whole bunch of defensive backs, they're playing like three safeties the whole time. The offensive line and Raheem Mostert put him on their back, and Mostert had 18 carries for 120 yards and two touchdowns at a big long run of 43 yards. He looked really good. He still looks explosive. Even at 31, he's only had like 500 career carries or something like that. So he doesn't have tread on the tires, but he is injury prone. So I'm not sure how long it's going to last, but Mostert's nice when he plays. So I keep rolling out Mostert if you got him. Looks to be the clear-cut starter. But A-Chain finally saw the field. He got himself one carry, had himself three targets, looked pretty good on his targets with 28 yards. But hopefully he gets a little bit more work here in the near future. Oh, that was Ahmed. Never mind. That had three targets for 28 yards. A-Chain actually only had one catch for 4 yards. So I guess he didn't look that good. I thought I saw a better catch than that, but I guess not. Hopefully he gets some more action because that's not much work. But he's obviously playing behind Salvin Ahmed and Mostert right now. So going to take a little bit of time for him to see the field, it seems like, as well. But still, big things to come for this offense. I think we're going to see Tyreek and Waddle bounce back. Waddle had a decent game with 86 yards, but I think they're both going to probably go off this next week. They're just playing Bill Belichick, always going to take away your best guys. But the Patriots looked pretty good on offense still. I mean, I think Mac Jones is a lot better than people were giving him credit for. Definitely not one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. The offense looks a lot better now this year than it did last year with new offensive coordinator coming in. And they're rolling out like Kendrick Bourne out there, Devontae Parker, Hunter Henry, but they're still moving the ball pretty well. So good on Mac Jones for doing that without a number one. I definitely like Kendrick Bourne the most there, but that's just because he's my guy. Probably Devontae Parker probably should be the most owned guy. But Kendrick Bourne just missed a couple big plays. Devontae Parker also targeted a ton. Those are probably the two main guys on this offense that I'd be targeting outside of Ramondre. Maybe Zeke has a handcuff if you had Ramondre. But what do you think about that? Or I guess this matchup as well. You want to talk about the Dolphins too?
Yeah, I mean, nothing too much to say about the Dolphins. It's mostly like we just talked about. Love consolidated offenses. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, absolute beast. Hopefully, Devin Achane can get going pretty soon. Maybe he's got a little bit more of an opportunity this week. So we'll see what develops there. But yeah, New England is they're looking pretty solid. Hunter Henry is someone that I am pretty excited about just because he's looking like the Hunter Henry of old back when he was on the Chargers. And the fact that he's like dominating targets in this New England team kind of like makes sense. I mean, Bill O'Brien loves to run the offense through the tight end position. So the fact that he has both Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki at his disposal, with Hunter Henry being the one here, feels pretty good. And this offense is looking like it's going to be viable for fantasy all season. So I don't want to have the job of having to decide between the New England wide receivers, but I like starting the tight ends and Ramondre in this offense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely has been nice to see Hunter Henry look like the Hunter Henry of old. He's getting a lot of targets out there, so good for him. All right, both games on Monday were pretty disgusting. I guess I'm glad that they were both on at the same time so that we didn't have to watch constantly. No one moved the ball on either side. Bryce Young just doesn't have any help, it seems like, from the offensive line to the running backs to the wide receivers. Adam Thielen looked all right, had a whole bunch of targets. But really just tough sledding there on offense for Carolina and Bryce Young. New Orleans still spreading the ball out a lot. Rashid Shaheed had like six targets. Olave balled. Michael Thomas had a bunch of targets too. But Derek Carr still doesn't look too good, but they won the game. I feel like Derek Carr is really not that much of an upgrade over Andy Dalton, if you ask me. But that's just my thoughts. And then Pittsburgh and Cleveland was disgusting. Deshaun threw a pick six on the first play. Pittsburgh's gained, I think, negative 7 yards in the fourth quarter and came back from behind and won. So that's disgusting as well. But George Pickens broke off a big long touchdown. So that was hype. And Jerome Ford looks like one of the best handcuff options in the league. Should have been rostering more Jerome Ford because he balled and had 106 yards after Chubb's unfortunate injury. Hopefully Chubb's able to come back next year or sometime soon. Doesn't end his career. That looks really bad. Got hurt in college very badly as well, but hasn't really had any major NFL injuries. So hopefully that bodes well for him. But being an older back, not great. But I hope Chubb can get right. What do you think about those two games on Monday? Like I said, they were pretty disgusting. So I figured we just combine them because NFL combined them because they were disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, just quick point on the Seattle offense. I'm excited for this offense once Kamara comes back.
The New Orleans offense.
The New Orleans offense, that's right. If the Kamara owner in your league does not value Kamara, go out and buy him. He's going to be good in this offense. This offense is, it's kind of like a new offense now that Derek Carr is kind of like slowly learning this playbook, but this offense is going to be good this year, and Kamara is going to be a beast this year. I mean, Tony Jones just scored two touchdowns in this offense. Kamara is a much better running back than Tony Jones. And so he's going to have over 100 yards plus those two touchdowns, plus all the receiving that he's going to have. So Kamara is going to kind of add an extra element to this entire offense. He's going to add that to Michael Thomas, to Chris Olave. And this is going to be a fun offense to be a part of. Bryce Young, Excited to see him continue to develop as a quarterback. He got his first touchdown this week, so that's always fun. So that Carolina, what?
I just want to, like, talking about Tony Jones. Did you see the sicko that bet Tony Jones two plus touchdowns and parlayed it with Jerome Ford to lead the game in
I did see that,
dude. $5 with like 70k, dude. That's the sickest bet I've like ever seen in my life, bro. Both running backs had to get hurt for that shit to happen, and it have like that was disgusting. Absolutely, yeah,
that is pretty wild. That is pretty wild. Shout out to whoever that dude's from the future.
Yeah, seriously. Time travel's real. That proved it.
Yeah, that is a time traveler right there. But yeah, that is pretty wild. I mean, okay, so talking about the Steelers and the Browns. Yeah, hopefully Nick Chubb recovers pretty well. That was a pretty gruesome injury. Backfield's pretty interesting. We got Jerome Ford. We got Pierre Strong. They just signed Kareem Hunt for $4 million.
Yep.
It seems like it's Jerome Ford's backfield, but I'm not 100% certain. We'll see if Jerome Ford can carry the workload. We haven't seen it in the past, but he's been behind Nick Chubb, so that makes sense. We'll see if he's going to get all the opportunity, and we'll see if he can run with it. I did like Jerome Ford at Cincinnati and coming into the NFL. I kind of liked him as like a real solid backup. And so now he's getting the opportunity. We'll see if he can handle the workload throughout the entire season. On the Steelers side, boy, is that backfield gross.
Yep.
Like, yeah, Najee can't – he honestly, this – it all starts with the offensive line because, you know, the Steelers are dead last in the league in yards before contact. The offensive line is giving them 0.0 yards before contact. So these guys on average like they're getting right back to the line of scrimmage before the first defender is there to try to tackle them. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how good your running back is. If the defense is in the backfield, it's going to be tough for those running backs to get any space to kind of get the legs moving and create some plays. I still like the Steelers offense, even though it's been pretty gross, they've played two really good defenses. Browns, probably one of the best defenses in the NFL. The Niners, probably one of the best defenses in the NFL. So we'll see how they perform. I'm really excited for this week because they play the Raiders, and we know the Raiders don't have a great defense. So I think this is the first time we'll get to see like a true look at what the defense actually looks like against like a normal NFL defense. So that instead of playing these powerhouse defenses like the Browns and the Niners. Yeah, so I'm excited to see how they perform this year. Yeah, they have to perform this year. I mean, this game. If they don't perform this game, I'm gonna lose a lot of hope. But this is the big test.
Yeah. It's been ugly roads these first two games. But yeah, that's an easier matchup against Las Vegas. They somehow beat the Broncos in week one, but they got rolled by Buffalo. They have a bad defense. They give up a lot of points. So hopefully, Kenny Pickett can show something. Looks like George Pickens might get force fed a little bit without Deontay. A little bit, maybe Allen Robinson is a pickup there. But yeah, gonna have to show out better than they did these past two games, or it's not gonna look pretty in the future. Also, Jaylen Warren gets lots of targets. He had six targets.
He does get a lot of targets.
66 yards. Definitely a handcuff guy that should be rostered in every dynasty league for sure. But you should look at him for your redrafts as well if he's not rostered. Already getting lots of receiving work. And if anything happened to Najee, he'd take over the backfield. And he's already, I think, getting pretty close to splitting carries, it looks like. So I'm not looking to invest in Najee in dynasty especially. Would definitely look to pivot off of him. I saw somebody say that if you could get Brian Robinson for Najee, you should go do that. And then I saw someone else post that he went and did it, and I thought it was a pretty smart idea. I don't know. Maybe, you know, Brian Robinson wasn't that great last year. Maybe people think it's a fluke. And Najee was obviously highly drafted. So I'm a bit concerned. I'm kind of thinking that might be a play. Even though I was pretty out on Brian Robinson coming into the year, I was also out on Najee. So I don't know. I think that could be an interesting move.
Yeah, that is a pretty interesting move. Najee for Brian Robinson. I don't know if I'd be able to pull the trigger on that just because I still have my doubts of Brian Robinson, but maybe I just kind of have to eat crow here and kind of admit that Brian Robinson is a good NFL running back. And I think I need to wait until after this week. If Najee still can't do it against the Raiders, I will give up hope. But I still believe in Najee.
All right. Well, we'll see this coming week. I'm excited to see what the Steelers can do because I have not been excited to watch the Steelers the past 2 weeks. So hopefully that
Been gross.
changes in the future. All right. That's all of them we're going through this week. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks.